From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football.
I love when I hand it to you and it's a grenade. Like, it's not even a good one. Like, it's not even a fun one to do. It's like, this sucks. I don't want to keep doing it. But here, it's Ryan's turn now.
I have to do it. Yeah. I think I did it.
Okay. I think you nailed it.
I got it. Okay. Yeah, we're back. We are back from Las Vegas. Maybe weighing a little heavier, except for the wallet's not as heavy. But we're back.
It's all about balance. When you cross the river Styx, it's all about balancing things.
We have people watching us live on the YouTubes. I like to call it simulcast. Dave doesn't call it that. And if you are being observant, like El Gordo, two podcasts in 4 days. Awesome. Yeah, pretty freaking awesome. We did two podcasts in like 6 months. We'll go 4 days now. So I think that's a little bit.
What day is this? This is Tuesday?
Yeah.
We recorded on Thursday, correct?
We did.
In what world is that 4 days?
I don't know. I didn't do the math. I'm just saying that's what the
get out of here, old Gordo Flacco. Come on.
But we appreciate it. We appreciate hearing from all of you. We did a podcast fairly recently, so we're not having new emails, maybe one. Big Ten Cast, all spelled out, at gmail.com. That's a great way to get a hold of us and share your thoughts with us. You can also call or text us 424-532-0678 is the number. Shoot us a text. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. You can also tweet at B1G Podcast. Love those. And then if you have the Apple Podcasting app or Spotify now, you can leave us reviews on both. We mostly look at the Apple ones. We're going to start looking at the Spotify ones a little bit too. But I don't know if we have any new ones.
We do.
Oh, we have new reviews. Love that.
From 7775426. Love the show. Great show. Would love to hear a recap or be pointed to which episode I can hear the history of El Segundo. The Gundo as a shirt at Brewport said. Also, for the future of the show, would not be mad if you guys just vibe and generally talk football that skews toward the teams you guys favor to discuss. Also, any chance you can record live from the casino late night. I think that's the content we're truly here for. Love the ideas. Love them. Keep them coming.
We did record from the casino.
It wasn't the casino floor, though. I think that's what they're asking
for. Oh, well, that's a lot. That's a little more difficult.
That would be difficult. You got to get permission to film, you know, in the casino.
Yeah, I don't
floor.
Think they would let you do
no,
that.
No, probably not. This is from Big UW Dog 12, A Plan for Success. Ah, the biannual podcast covering regional football has returned. Is biannual twice per year or once every 2 years? Does it really matter? It's like a sneaky gift when it mysteriously shows up in the new podcast notifications, like encountering a mythical creature in the woods. Don't look right at it, for fear it will disappear again. As a regional pod covering a tiny section of the country, but also proponents of conference expansion and consolidation, have I ever got a great idea for you to pitch to your conference overlords? The Big Ten Conference has a goal of coast-to-coast supremacy. The only solution is for them to truly dominate is to expand fully to the West Coast. Grab both schools in Washington, Oregon, Northern California, and Arizona. Maybe grab a school or two in Utah. There's nothing in Colorado, so ignore them. Now that there's a super conference, split it into sections and declare independence from everyone else. The eastern side can keep the name Big Ten, but the western side should have a name that would distinguish it from everyone else. Maybe name it after the largest nearby body of water. Then add the number of teams in that side. Finally, these teams from both sides should play each other in exhibition games after the regular season concludes. Name the games after some sort of kitchen utensil or something you eat out of. The champions of each side should play in a special game at a special place every year at exactly the same time. I hear Pasadena has a venue that is serviceable, but that's just a rumor. Anyway, I think a partnership like this can be a completely profitable and viable for at least 100 years. In this entirely fictional scenario, you two could focus even more on just the specific region. It might make you even more mediocre, but that's always been the goal. You know what? This idea is crazy enough to work.
Did you write that? I was gonna. I thought you wrote that.
I think we've said that exact bit on this show between 10 and 15 times since the announcements.
That's a great review.
That was a great review. Thank you, Big UW Dog 12.
Thanks for the reviews. And thanks if you're watching us live on YouTube. We'll be doing these once a week. Did we decide? Are we doing like Tuesday, Wednesday-ish? Or what was our are we doing Monday, Tuesdays? What days were we talking about doing them?
Two shows?
No. Uno mas. One show.
One show a week. Yeah. I'm not sure which day.
Okay. Well,
I don't think
out.
We discussed it. Did we?
We probably did. But that's okay. Yeah, we'll do one show a week.
Thursdays are probably the easiest for me.
Okay. Well, we have to make it easy for David.
You got to make it easy for me. Afternoons on Thursdays. Let's go.
All right. So recapping games aren't going to be as big of a deal.
Correct.
It'll be more like sort of the general, hey, what happened and what are we looking forward to this weekend and stuff.
Correct.
Okay. So if Indiana beats like Illinois State by a late field goal, we're not going to go into the details of why Cignetti called timeout. We're not going
to
do that.
Unless, but here's the thing. We'll be at liberty to discuss whatever the hell we want. So if I watch that game closely, I might decide I want to talk about it.
Okay.
But no, we're not gonna like delve into like, you know, how Rutgers Maryland was this weekend. Sorry. It's not gonna happen.
Fair enough. Okay. But what we're gonna
unless do- it was cool. And then we might talk about it. But if it's not cool, which come on, it's probably not gonna be cool, we're not gonna talk about it.
So David, like, I thought we were pretty clear what we wanted to do. And then I get a text from David, like, hey, well, I ask him. He doesn't text me. I text him. Hey, what should we do for the show? And he's like, pick every game. And I'm like, dude.
Listen, man.
We're not going to pick every game.
So, Ryan, he's the guy who does the little show notes, right? Okay. We got a division of responsibilities here. I do nothing. He does most of it. And he asked me, he said, I don't have anything in there. What do you want to talk about? And so I'm having to come up with ideas. Now, me, I'm throwing out an idea. Are there wrong ideas? Are there bad ideas? No. They're only good ideas. And sometimes they're not right for right then.
Right.
Ryan just smacks it down. It's like when you're in a relationship and like you criticize the other person for how they do the dishes, right?
Right.
They're not going to want to do the dishes again.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
So I shouldn't have criticized.
I'm just saying you could say, hey, no bad ideas. Maybe we can workshop this into something we can do. And you know what I did anyway? I workshopped it into something we can do.
Yes. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to go through and pick every game. We need, is it David? Who did the big charts?
Andrew. P-Dog 206.
And the, remember he would give us the schedules?
Mm-hmm.
He would do those too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For 12 by 12, it would work. It would be all the, you know, Pac-12 teams.
Right.
X-axis, Y-axis, and then all the games and everything. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if that would work. I didn't see if he did one of those for the Big Ten last year. We didn't get one. But I had the printouts in the office, and it was great. I used it. I thought it was wonderful. Like, that was an eye chart I actually got into. Some of the other ones, not quite as much. But it's really hard to do for so many teams. It's just very big. Very, 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 very big conference. So what we're going to do instead is look at, because gambling is all the rage now, and we just came from Las Vegas, season win totals, the over-unders. And our friends over at MyBookie put out for most of the Big Ten, and I found if they didn't have some of the bottom dwellers in there on MyBookie, I looked up other places and tried to find a consensus of what these over-under win totals will be. Very simple exercise. David and I will look at each one and give our picks for over or under. You can make fun of us, tell us we're idiots, and you know, at the end of the season, we can look back and see if we were right or wrong.
We going bottom up or going top down? What are we doing? Let's go bottom up.
You want to do bottom up?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let me pull these up. So we have there's like a lot of teams that aren't going to be very good. And David had an exercise. You wanted us, for each team we talk about,
yeah,
we have to give like some kind of...
All right. All right. So...
Fact.
Okay. So who's first?
So I'm going to go, first up is...
Purdue. Boilermakers.
I have one fact.
Yeah.
They are now coached by Barry Odom.
That's a good fact.
Do you have another fact?
I can give you like a little bit of... So we were in Las Vegas and...
Oh, you're giving an anecdote.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to...
I love it. Continue, I'm going to
tell you, like, Barry Odom was the head coach at UNLV, did a great job. We were next to the ESPN Las Vegas radio station, and I got to talk to those guys a little bit. They actually interviewed Barry Odom, and it was a big deal. You know, a lot of the players, there was like a similar vibe for Purdue, take like what Indiana had with Cignetti and bringing a bunch of the players over. They brought a bunch of the UNLV players over. But it felt the vibe I got from the Vegas people was they still really love that Odom was able to turn that team around. And I don't think there was a lot of fault given for him going to Purdue.
Love it. Yeah. All right. So
is that a good enough fact?
I like that fact. All right. So here's the deal. The schedule. I think it's really interesting because right now, and you pulled this from what? MyBookie?
Yeah, Purdue, this might have been a different one. I don't think they had Purdue on there. But most places I saw was 2.5.
All right, 2.5. Yeah. Here's what the schedule is. Ball State at home, Southern Illinois at home to open things. Purdue's probably going to be bad. Are they bad enough to lose to Ball State and Southern Illinois at home? I don't think so.
Probably not.
So that's two wins right there.
Yeah.
So what Vegas is wondering, what they're putting out there to the people, is does Purdue win again after September 6th? That's USC at home, Notre Dame on the road, Illinois at home, Minnesota on the road, Northwestern on the road, Rutgers at home, Michigan on the road, Ohio State at home, Washington on the road, Indiana at home. First, who hates Purdue in the league office? Second, I think I'm going under.
Wow. So you hate Purdue. I'm sorry. I put this in the wrong. I put that word Ohio State.
If you're going over, Ryan, yeah. What's the win? Like, I want you to name the win.
Okay. Looking, I feel like last year there was like a clear rise, you know, as far as like you had the best teams and you had like shitty teams. And then, sorry, Griffin. And then sort of everybody in between. I feel like, you know, Northwestern, like they might not be that good. Rutgers, you know, we'll see. They're going to be better, I think. But there's a possibility there. You know, Minnesota, you'd like that to be at home. It's not. It's on the road. It's not like a lot of great options. But they played Illinois really well, tough last year. Do you remember? Wasn't it like Ryan Walters?
Wasn't that Ryan Walters calling the offense?
He took over the offense and like put up like 40 points on the Illini and almost, you know, they almost lost that game. I just feel like they're going to scratch out a win
one
somewhere. Do you remember like the year that Colorado we picked? Like, I think the over-under, was it? It might have been Prime's first year and like the over-under was like, or I picked them that would go like 3-9, I think. And they started off 3-0 or something that. And everyone's like giving me crap. And they end up like 4-8, but you know, but they came out of the gate kind of hot. 2-0, then you just need one win in the last 10 games. So it's hard for me to not, you know, somewhere get a win. So I'm going to go over.
Wow, ambitious man.
I'm pretty ambitious. Next up, we've got
Northwestern Wildcats.
I have a Northwestern fact.
Do you?
Their new quarterback is former SMU quarterback Preston Stone.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's any good, but I do know he is their new quarterback. And I think Jack Lausch is still on the roster, our friend from last year.
Jack Lausch, okay.
Yeah.
I like that one. They're also temporarily playing on the lake. So as they're getting their new...
Is that your fact?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Is that
it's just a continued fact from last year. I'm providing changing facts for people. You're providing stability facts.
Stability. Well, that Barry Odom wasn't stability facts.
That was my fact. And then you provided a new fact.
Oh.
What was your fact for Purdue? Just something more about Barry Odom?
There was like more in depth about Barry Odom. Yeah.
Ryan knows no facts about these teams.
No, I do. I mean, crap. I do know that for Purdue, the average number of wins, according to Bill Connolly, 2.9. So Northwestern's 3.5. Third year for David Braun over there. So what are you thinking looking at Northwestern's schedule?
All right, so pulling it up, they've got a more interesting road to hoe in non-conference play, because they open at Tulane. That's not an easy game. Not an easy game for Northwestern.
No.
Probably not an easy game for most people. Then it's Western Illinois at home. That's a win. They also have Louisiana Monroe a little bit later in October at home. In between that, they have to host Oregon and UCLA. And then the rest of the conference schedule after Louisiana Monroe is at Penn State, Purdue at home, at Nebraska, at USC, Michigan at home, Minnesota at home, and Illinois on the road. So if you're counting wins here, I'm going Western Illinois, Louisiana Monroe. That's two.
Yeah.
I'm going Purdue at home. That's three. And I want to say it's Northwestern. They always play weird football. It's tough to pick exactly which game it would be. Maybe Minnesota at home in November. But I'm going to say they eke out one more, maybe between Minnesota and UCLA, and they get to four wins.
Yeah. I'm going to go with you, too. Our buddy Bill Connolly has slightly better than 3.5, 3.7 wins. So maybe that means picking stuff up. This is a team I think relied on defense a lot. I think they're going to lose a little bit on the defensive side. They were, yeah. I mean, this is tough because it's going to be one of those things where do you find that win? There's nothing that looks, oh, yeah, Northwestern's going to win this game. But we've seen them be feisty. I just think there's a long schedule. Teams are going to like go up and down. You catch somebody right on the right day. It's just hard to say, okay, they're not going to win another game. So I'm going to, same thing. It's like you don't have to really find like 1.5 wins out there. So I'm gonna take the over.
All right.
Not feel great about it, but I will take the over. Okay. Next up, we've got – oops.
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap. Maryland. They picked up Justin Martin, UCLA quarterback, in the transfer portal. He will be a redshirt junior, I believe, this year, and he is going to lose the starting quarterback job to a true freshman, Malik Washington. I think Martin intended to go there to start. He will not start, is my point. So anyway, Maryland's going to be starting a true freshman at quarterback for an embattled head coach. Yeah. Hilarity will ensue.
Okay. So that's what you're going with. All right.
What do you got? You got anything else?
They won one game in Big Ten play last year.
More stability facts.
It was USC.
That's right, baby. That should have been my fact.
It could have been yours. Yeah, Terps. So we have them at 4.5 win total. What are you thinking? Let me pull up the schedule here.
All right.
There's a lot going on.
So here's what we got. And this is another interesting one because they've got Florida Atlantic at home, Northern Illinois at home, and Towson. What are we going with there?
That is,
I'm going to go Towson.
Towson, yeah.
Towson at home. That's 3-0 more than likely to begin the year. So then Vegas is wondering, do they get two more wins or not? That is Maryland at Wisconsin. So it's at Wisconsin, Washington at home, Nebraska at home, at UCLA, Indiana at home, at Rutgers, at Illinois, Michigan at home, at Michigan State. I'm struggling with two more wins. I think one seems likely. You know, in aggregate, they should be able to pull off one of Wisconsin, UCLA, Michigan State. Like one of those, okay. Two? Especially the home road split doesn't seem to work out great for them, because Wisconsin at home, I'd feel better about, but they get them on the road.
Yeah.
UCLA at home, I'd feel better about, but they get them on the road. Michigan State, I'd feel better at home, but they get them on the road. And then the games that they get at home are generally some tougher opponents. So
Rutgers is on the road.
Yeah, Rutgers is on the road. But they get Indiana at home, Michigan at home, Nebraska at home. That's tough. So I'm going to go under here. I think they go 4-8.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on this one as well. It's actually, if you look at Bill Connolly, has them at 5.1 wins, so over 5 wins. So
we're going against Bill.
I'm
going
to go against Bill. He thinks they can win 2.5 games in the Big Ten. And last year, I mean, literally they should have won a single game in the Big Ten. They were
correct.
Down 13 points in that in the fourth quarter and end up winning. So, yeah, this one... I feel like if you're going to go with like young quarterback, like that's not the year you're trying to save. You're trying to save your coach's job. I don't know. And Loxley talked about losing the locker room, if I'm not mistaken, at Big Ten media days and what they're doing to try to get it back. They got decimated in the portal, but you know, a lot of teams that don't do well do. But yeah, that's a rough one. Hey, we did get a, let me pull it up here. We got a cha-ching.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just hopped in. Love you guys. From our buddy Matthew.
Matthew's the man. So we love you, Matthew. Thank you.
We might have to pick Wisconsin to have more.
Well, I just predicted that they'll beat Maryland, right? Yeah. Right? Is that what I said? Maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, you did. So Mark says, NIU did beat the Mighty Fighting Irish last year. Eric says, quack. Cool. So, all right. Well, thank you for that one. So we have Maryland in the books. Let's see who's up next. We've got, let me see. There's all these things. I'm getting used to boring.
Rutgers, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
Rutgers, famously a football team in the Northeast. Is Ethan Calliope-Manis still their quarterback?
I believe so.
Is he really? That's my fact. He's still there somehow. How many years of... Hang on. How many years of football has he played now? I feel like he's been around forever. So he redshirted at Minnesota in 2021. Then he played 2022, 2023, and 2024 at Rutgers. Okay. So this is his final year of quarterbacking in the Big Ten. Our long national... beautiful dream. It's almost at an end.
Yeah. So they also bring back, I think, 4 offensive linemen.
Hey, that was a real fact. I like that one.
And they have new co-defensive coordinators.
Look at you.
Rob Smith and Zach Sarberer.
Did you have to look up facts because you didn't know anything about Rutgers?
I didn't know that one off the top of my head. But in my notes I have that I put in there, I'm like, well, I just have some facts from my notes. So... I can share that with you.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
But the win total for Rutgers, 5.5.
All right. So now we got to come up with even more wins. Here we go. Ohio at home. That's a win. Miami of Ohio at home. Also a win. Norfolk State, a win. Bunch of like 3 meaningless games. Don't matter to anybody. Love the scheduling. Go team. So 3-0 to begin with. So again, the question is, will they go 3-6 in conference or not? This is what we're trying to determine.
Okay.
Iowa at home, Minnesota on the road, Washington on the road, Oregon at home, Purdue on the road, Illinois on the road, Maryland at home, Ohio State on the road, Penn State at home. So I think we can rule out them beating Ohio State on the road, Penn State at home. I think we can probably rule out Oregon at home, but I think Oregon might take a small step back this year.
Okay.
So that's 3 losses right there. So now it's, can they go 3-3 among Iowa, Minnesota, Washington, Purdue, Illinois, and Maryland? I think they beat Purdue.
Yeah.
You got to scare up 2 more wins. Ah.
It's tough.
It's tough because 3 of those are road games, and one of them's Iowa. Could be better this year. I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 5 wins.
I mean, now last year they went 4-5 in conference. I think they can be a bowl team.
I think they can be. I think it's going to be a narrow thing, though.
Yeah. No Kyle Manungai, one of the better players we saw in the conference. I'm going to go over with these guys.
You're going over?
I think they're going to be a bowl team again.
Again, your comfort with being wrong is one of your best virtues.
Comfort of being wrong?
Yeah. It's one of your best, you are just so comfortable being absolutely categorically incorrect in so many ways. And I doff my cap to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I like that we're going differently in some of these. Okay. Next up, we've got
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
All right. A UCLA Bruin fact is that after going 5-7 in his first year, Deshaun Foster massively overhauled his entire staff. It was one of the biggest house cleanings I think I've ever seen after a single year. New offensive coordinator, bunch of new position coaches, just swept out basically every single assistant coach besides Jerry Neuheisel and Akai Kamalay. So there's that, and they brought in Nico Iamaliava as the quarterback. See, I finally nailed it. I finally hit it. You hear me hit it?
I like it.
Yeah. You got any facts?
So they had 15 players that had 200 snaps last year. Mm-hmm. Only two of them are back.
That's right, baby.
So not a lot of return. But Nico bringing the juice.
Bringing the juice, bringing the thunder, bringing the noise.
Very, very tall. He's a very tall man. If that's a fact. We saw him in Vegas. He was very, very, very tall. And last season, UCLA 5-7, 3-6, but got a couple good Big Ten wins. Beat Iowa, beat Nebraska on the road. So 5-7, can it get a little better? Because the over-under is 5.5.
Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to pick that up where you dropped it?
If you want to. Oh, we could do another before it give you a chance to gather your thoughts. Because Matthew, not just saying this because I love David, I watched Foster on Cover 3. He seems really confident they're going to be good on offense. Yeah, with the quarterback who didn't get through spring football and a offensive coordinator that never called plays. I'm sure they're going to be great.
What a dick. all right. So here's the schedule, which is the more important thing. UCLA has a tough schedule this year, especially compared to the rest of the Big Ten scheduling and non-conference. Utah at home, UNLV on the road, New Mexico at home. These are all teams that have been within the range of competent recently. Utah's in kind of a rebuilding mode. They have a new quarterback, actually, from New Mexico, Devin Dampierre.
So they're starting the season with a Pac-12 game?
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I've never seen a conference game in the first game of the year.
Hold on.
I have.
Hold on. We have the
Utah Utes. Right.
There we go.
Throwback.
So I think the most judicious way to look at this is 2-1. Because in aggregate, UNLV has been competent lately. New Mexico's had some
decent
success.
But lost their coach and lost a lot of guys.
Yeah, Utah's been competent lately. Could UCLA go 3-0 here? Yes. Could the wheels fall off and they go 1-2 here? Yes. Probably just let's go 2-1. Then it's Northwestern on the road, Penn State at home, Michigan State on the road, Maryland at home, Indiana on the road, Nebraska at home, Ohio State on the road, Washington at home, USC on the road. I think there are two games in here that are completely not something you should expect UCLA to win or be particularly competitive, and that's Penn State and Ohio State. I think the other seven are within shouting distance. Indiana may still be very good, so you can maybe throw them in that first category if you want to. But six then. So Northwestern, Michigan State, Maryland, Nebraska, Washington, and USC. Hosting Maryland, Nebraska, and Washington is all very good for UCLA. I think they beat Nebraska last year. I think they could sweep through those three. And then it's a question of can they pull one of Northwestern, Michigan State, and USC on the road? I kind of think they do. I'm going a hair over at 6-6.
Wow. Okay. Yep. I like that. I'm kind of on the fence. I feel like can win the Utah game and then you can make a bowl game. And I do think this team's going to be better. But with year one, and I think probably overachieved a little bit in year one. Is that fair? Like, because it wasn't like Deshaun Foster was put in a great situation, was able to make things work. I kind of feel like this is going to be a step that's not up or down, but just sort of like, all right, we came out of the gates, now we're established and we can build on that. So I feel like the bowl eligibility thing is going to be year three. I think it's going to be another 5-7 season.
Okay.
So I'm going to go under here and you're going
over.
I mean, it's close. If I think Utah's going to be better, I think they're going to bounce back. And that I think that's going to be a tough one to win out of the gates. But I think, you know, beating UNLV, I think that's a real deal. Okay. I got to go back. What's going on here? I'm trying to find my... There we go. I'm like, my board wasn't updating. I was still showing all the Pac-12 games. I was like, oh, the Pac-12 teams. I'm like, what? Because if I was showing that, you wouldn't know. The next one up is...
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
My Michigan State fact is that unlike in every single dynasty season of college football 25, Aiden Chiles did not transfer out of Michigan State after his first year and is in fact still the starting quarterback for the Spartans.
Yeah, I like that. I would say Aiden Chiles is a turnover machine.
Mm, that's a fact.
But played well against Iowa last year.
Correct.
In the win.
Well said.
That's a fact.
I think that was totally fair and appropriate.
Cool. So we also have, I left the comment up there a long time. Sorry. I'm doing a lot on the screen and doing all these things right now. So my apologies. We have Michigan State at 5.5 also.
All right. So looking at the schedule, they host Western Michigan, they host Boston College, and they host Youngstown State. They could go 2-1. I'm going to say they go 3-0. Then it's at USC, at Nebraska, UCLA at home, at Indiana, Michigan at home, at Minnesota, Penn State at home, Iowa on the road, Maryland at home.
The Maryland game probably.
Maryland game is probably a win. UCLA is a potential win.
Yeah, but that's on the road.
No, that's at home.
I have UCLA as the home team. Is that wrong?
That's wrong.
Oh. The schedule I have pulled up from the Big Ten says Pasadena, California.
It's not. It's at Spartan Stadium.
Oh, okay. Wow. Sorry, Big Ten. Your schedule is wrong. I'm literally on BigTen.org.
Are you sure you're on the right year?
2025. It's October 11th. They already had the game time set.
They have 9 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 9 a.m. in Pasadena, homie.
It says 9 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, it wouldn't be in Pasadena at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay. But it says Pasadena. I don't have a look at that right here. I can put a screenshot up.
Yeah, but it's wrong.
Okay.
Big Ten, go team. All right, so UCLA at home is a potential win for Michigan State. Maryland at home is a potential win for Michigan State. Tough to scare up that sixth one. But you know this show. Who are we big fans of?
Jonathan Smith.
That's right, baby. I'm a believer in Jonathan Smith. They're going 6-6 this year.
Okay.
They're going to beat, it's going to be something stupid. It'll be like USC or Penn State at home. Penn State, so did you know, again, another fact. This is a bonus fact. Did you know that Michigan State, Penn State has a named rivalry?
I mean, everybody freaking does in this.
But why? Why is this a real thing? And it's been very close. It's called the Battle for the Land Grant. I'm dropping knowledge right now. It could be a rivalry thing. Michigan State got smoked last year, but maybe they're competitive this year. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm not as high on... I love me some Jonathan Smith. I mean, we love him from our days covering the Pac-12, if you guys remember, we used to do that.
Ryan is guzzling haterade today.
I've three overs And this is going to be my third under. So I'm going to go.
This is going to be your fourth under. No, no, you already written it in there. Okay, you're good. You're good.
Under.
Never mind. Never mind. You're beautiful.
I'm going to, like, I loved Aiden Childs and stuff too, but just actually watching some of the games last year and like when I would pick Michigan State and just like, just don't throw three picks. And he would throw three picks and you're like, damn it. Yeah, I think that's not going to go very well for Sparty. So I'm going to go under.
Wow.
My apologies.
All right.
To my former employee, Dan Wyke, who's now doing a great job covering the Lakers for The Athletic.
But so what are you supposed to do with the O in his name? You're just supposed to ignore Wyke? It?
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I think it's Polish or something.
We can't go Wyke.
Wyke.
No. Wyke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
he likes to tease me that he's like the most famous guy that I've hired before. And I always tease him that I'd fired him, but I didn't fire him. But I mean, I probably almost did a few times. But no, Dan's great. Shout out to Dan and his Sparties. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick the under. Sorry, Dan. Don't mean to be a hater.
Haters going to hate.
All right. Next up, we've got the
Wisconsin Badgers.
Wisconsin fact is that in the grand annual Big Ten quarterback exchange, they have picked up former Maryland quarterback Billy Edwards to be their starting quarterback in 2025.
Nice. That was good.
You like that one?
To help him, I think they brought in Jeff Grimes. Is that not?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. That was a fact.
Yeah.
Those are two facts, actually.
Those are two facts
if
on
you're
the
counting
offensive side. We got another 5.5 win total for Wisconsin. If you remember last year, they were 5-7, 3-6 in the conference.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Miami of Ohio and Middle Tennessee at home. Those are both easy wins. And then there's this regional school. They're traveling
to Appalachian State.
I can't. Hang on. I'm trying to read it.
That's the logo.
I think it might be Alabama A&M or something. Oh, no.
Oh, they're at Alabama?
Oh. Well, that's not so good.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, howdy. All right. Then it's Maryland at home, Michigan on the road. Wow. What a nice little Maryland at home, and then you get to go at Michigan after going at Alabama. I guess you get a bye week in between. That's nice. Then it's Iowa at home. Then it's Ohio State at home. Then it's Oregon on the road. Jesus. Then it's Washington at home. Then it's at Indiana. Then it's Illinois at home. Then it's Minnesota on the road. God damn.
Yeah.
All right. 2-0 to start.
It's one of the most brutal schedules out there.
2-0 to start, then it's 2-1, then it's Maryland at home. So let's just go best case scenario first. How about we start there? 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, 5-4, 5-5, 6-5, 7-5. But like, I'm already getting like sketchy on the 7-5 by the end.
Are you giving like 50-50 games to the most?
Yeah. And that's like best case scenario. What do they have them at? 5.5?
5.5.
Damn. I don't want to do it, but I got to go under.
Yeah.
This is brutal. I'm sorry, Matthew. This is brutal.
Matthew says, I pulled up the wrong one. He said, not sure who pissed off.
Who we pissed off in the league office.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, what a treat to get to host Ohio State instead of going on the road. Yeah, that'll make the difference.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, you know, because I know you know you've already done two super chats, and Dave is such a hater. But I'm going to be a hater too. I'm sorry. I'm going with the under also. I feel like the Alabama game, it didn't go well last year in Madison, and then
it'll be
and like Alabama was bad last year, like bad and like there and like, you know, losing to Kentucky and Vanderbilt bad or whatever. But did they lose Kentucky? No, they lost to Oklahoma. And
but it's year two for Kalen DeBoer, and that's usually when things start.
Yeah,
rocketing.
I think that's going to go poorly, and then it might
continue.
Yeah, there might be some poorness going on.
The thing is,
5.2.
What Hinch's thing is that, like, Washington's probably going to be better this year. Illinois, you know, in a very Illinois is. I'm not saying Illinois, okay? I just want you to understand that. Yeah. You know me. You know I didn't say Illinois. I was saying Illinois apostrophe S, okay? Are we clear? Listener out there, I want to make sure we're clear before I continue.
Illinois.
Illinois is, you know, I think on the uptick with Brett Bielema. So it's really hard to find the sixth win here. Really difficult.
Yeah. So
sorry, Wisconsin.
That's all right. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. It just doesn't look it doesn't look great. But, you know, who knows? We'll see. Was it third year for Fickell? I think it's year three.
Yep.
Going into it. All right. Let's move on. And we're going to go with
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Minnesota is it's a school coached by PJ Fleck in the upper Midwest.
True. That's what you got?
That's what I got.
Drake Lindsey taking over at quarterback. So
hey, you had some facts. Okay. There you go. Way to bring
doing
it.
Doing that. So we have last year, Minnesota was at 8-5, 5-4 winning record in the Big Ten, and the projected win total is the only team. So we've had everyone up until now was 5.5 or below. Now all the teams we're going to list are at least bowl eligible as far as that, like the projections. We have Minnesota, the only team at 6.5.
Okay. So let's pull up the schedule. All right. So Buffalo at home, that's a win. Northwestern State at home, that's a win. At California, how are our sturdy Golden Bears expected to be this year?
All I read about is guys in the transfer portal.
Yeah, guys have just been leaving. So Minnesota should be favored.
You're like, oh, where's Jay Knott? Oh, he's at Oklahoma. Just everybody somewhere else. Like, I don't know.
Then they host Rutgers. Then it's at Ohio State. Then Purdue at home. Then Nebraska at home. Then at Iowa. Then Michigan State at home. Then at Oregon. Then at Northwestern. And then Wisconsin at home. So the two games in the conference schedule that are frankly unwinnable are at Oregon and at Ohio State.
Sure.
Everything else in this schedule is manageable. Iowa's a tough game on the road, but Minnesota can absolutely win that. They should be favored by quite a bit against Purdue. I imagine Nebraska is going to be at worst to pick them. Rutgers, same deal. Michigan State, same deal. Northwestern, same deal. I mean, it's kind of a hinging season where it could go bad or good depending on how these 50-50 games go. But I'm going to bank on, PJ Fleck building a little something here. They were better than their record indicated last year. I think they will finally have a record more indicative of what they are this year. So I'm going to go over 6.5. I'll say 7-5.
I was looking for a Minnesota photo and I couldn't find it. I'm going to add one now. So let me see. It might be in here somewhere. And there's so many. We have so many teams. I don't know if you realize this. Oh, I got it already. All right. I can just get rid of that. We had one already. There's Minnesota, PJ Fleck. Running out of the tunnel there. Ninth season.
That's right, baby.
For Fleck. Bill Connelly has him at 6.8 average wins. I'm going to agree with you and go on the over. When you just kind of glance at the schedule, there's a lot on this schedule, there's a lot more. Oh, there's Purdue. There's Michigan State.
Well, and
they've
done us a favor by making the two big ones actually unwinnable. Right? They're both on the road. You're not even thinking about it. It's just those are two losses, and then you figure out where the 7 out of 10 games come from. And they come. Like they're possible here.
So I like the over here also. I mean, I think, a 7-5 or even an 8-4 season, it'd be a little bit of a step back, I think, to only go 6-6 and just make it to a bowl game. I mean, last year. It had some good wins on there. Having a winning record in conference. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4. Half the league has a winning record, and they were in that half. And I don't think you want to drop below that. You don't want to have the losing record in conference. So I feel like they're going to be able to do that and move on. All right. Should we take a quick break?
Sure.
Since we're like somewhere in the middle. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute, everybody. All right. I had the Minnesota photo up there. There's a lot that are going on. Trying to go through all the different screens. This is work. And David just can kind of sit there and
look pretty
and do his thing and look pretty.
Yeah.
Look svelte. Mm-hmm. Is that the correct word?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go with the next team.
Washington Huskies.
Washington is still coached by Jed Fish here in his second year at the helm of the Huskies. And they have DeMond Williams, who will be the starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, and had to replace coordinators from last year after losing Belichick to
his father,
his dad over there in North Carolina. Who took over? I forget. Ryan Walters from Purdue.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, got that one.
Hey, that was good.
That's not bad.
That was a good fact.
Did he replace offensive coordinator too? Or no, is Carroll still there?
Did Brennan go with his dad?
Yeah, I think Brennan went with his dad. So I think they were like both.
Hang on.
Yeah, pull that up too.
I'm pulling it up right now. Jimmy Doherty.
He was
promoted.
A friend of mine. Well, not a friend. I met him once. He's nice. We're friends on Instagram, but he's a very nice guy.
He used to be a UCLA wide receiver.
He was. That's when I met him, when he was with your friend.
Chipple Kellyle. Kip Chelly.
Chippy Kelly. Okay, so a lot of buzz around Washington this year. The win total is 7.5. Last season, Washington was 6-7, 4-5, but I think there's a lot more optimism up there in Seattle. What does you say about the Huskies?
All right, so looking at the schedule, they host Colorado State. They host UC Davis. That's two wins. Then they have to go at Washington State. But I think Washington State has also been hemorrhaging talent here in the post-Pac-12 era.
Did they lose, like, you know, offensive coordinator and quarterback? Did they do that? Is that bad? Or is that?
That's not good.
Oh, okay.
We don't like that. Then they host Ohio State. That's not good. They have to go at Maryland. Rutgers at home, Michigan on the road, Illinois at home, Wisconsin on the road, Purdue at home, UCLA on the road, Oregon at home. Yeah, just glancing at this, that's not an easy schedule.
No.
And Vegas has it at what, 7.5?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this and I say, okay, they're 3-0 in non-con. They're losing to Ohio State at home. Maryland on the road is not like a automatic. That's a 50-50. Rutgers at home, that's probably a win. So that's four for sures. Michigan on the road, that's probably a loss. Illinois at home, that's not a for sure win either.
No, they're ranked. They're going to be a ranked team.
Wisconsin on the road? I don't like them at 7.5. I'm taking the under.
Undering it, baby. Okay.
Yeah.
What a hater.
I guess I am.
And I left the
gym. Sorry. Are many, many Husky friends, but no. I see 7-5. I don't see 8-4.
I'm gonna let the analytics decide for me.
You've been letting the analytics decide for you this entire show.
I've gone against it. This one's just because when it's more than a game, Bill Connolly, 6.3 average wins.
Yeah.
So I'm going under also. The main reason is I do like listening to sort of national podcasts or hearing what people are saying. And sometimes you just get a quote somewhere and then people get a bug up their ass about a certain team. And Washington's one of those teams where there is a lot of optimism about what this team can do in 2025. And when there's so many people that are just like, yeah, like, you know, and I don't hear a lot of like sort of facts behind it. I mean, there's facts behind it, but it sort of just became a buzz, and I'm like, eh, I'm not buying the buzz. Maybe it's true. And I like all the people that cover Washington, and you know, I think they deserve to have a winner up there. Jed Fish, I like what he does. But I'm looking at the schedule, I'm just like, eh, I don't know. So I'm going to go under also. All right, next up.
USC Trojans.
My fact about USC.
NorCal Matt calls us haters.
My fact about USC is that they have been still more disappointing in every single season under Lincoln Riley, and there is no reason to think that this year will not be such as well. Is that a fact?
I mean, that's not a fact, but yeah, I guess if technical facts.
I'm describing a fact about my opinion. That is a fact that my opinion is that.
That is factual. Yeah. I would say factual. They hired a new strength and conditioning coach, Tremaine Carroll. And I was at Media Day yesterday and everybody was raving. Has anyone ever hired a strength and conditioning coach and you didn't hear like,
oh my gosh, we got so many gains. Bro, it's been so different.
Has it ever? No one's ever done that and go like, yeah, it's been weird. Like it's been okay. It's been about the same.
Off the record, I've heard some, it's been weird.
Really? Okay, yeah. Even off the record stuff, people are just always like optimistic. But I will give you a fact, like if you look at, just looking at the team in general, if you look at the defensive line, it looks like a different species like than what they had last year. There's just bigger dudes that are on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm. How many pounds of offseason weight did they gain this year?
I don't know, but that was a big thing.
Because I remember
that
was a big thing last year.
They did that last year, yeah. And they still fired their strength and conditioning coach. So.
Interesting.
Here's a fact. A dog's life in Portland. Riley should have got rid of Alex Grinch a year earlier. True. That was the wrong drop. Yeah. Yes, that's very true. And when did Wisconsin get rid of Grinch? Was it last year?
I think so.
Yeah. So
even there still. Another fact. Here's my fact: is Jaden Maiava good?
He's got tools. Strong
arm. That's
not
a fact. That's a question.
It is. Yeah. But will he be good? It's hard to say. He's one of those high ceiling, low floor.
Exciting times for USC football.
Kind of guys.
Shall we get into the schedule, sir?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Missouri State at home. That's a win.
Yeah, they're not very good.
They got to host a power from Georgia in the second week of the season.
True.
With some familiarity with their team. He's a Rose Bowl winning head coach. He's coached a Heisman winner, did he?
No. Are you kidding me?
Sam Darnold didn't win the Heisman?
No, he did not.
Okay. He's an offensive genius, some say.
No one has said that. I've never even heard. I covered that guy for a long time, never heard that.
Clay Helton coming back to town, yes, at the helm of the Georgia Southern Eagles.
So what in your life, you have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
That I know that you love very, mm-hmm, dearly.
Sure.
Like when they were born. So outside of
my two children
being born those days, would your third favorite day in the history of your life be
if Georgia Southern beats USC?
Would it be the favorite day?
It would be.
It would
pass without a doubt.
13-9. It would pass.
So people may have noticed I've kind of I've semi quiet quit from Twitter. Like I don't actually post that much anymore.
Yeah,
it's
why?
Mostly movie reviews.
Oh,
I just don't have the interest. It's yeah. Not some like I'm not a I mean I'm not a big Elon fan, but it's not that. I just don't really want to do it. This would get me back on. For like a day of just block tweeting the entire day. Maybe that entire week, I would just be going ham the entire time. yeah. Anyway. And then USC begins conference play. So probably 2-0.
This is a 7.5 win total also.
Yeah. Then they go at Purdue, probably a third win. Michigan State at home, probably a fourth win. Sitting pretty now. 4-0. All they have to do is come up with four more wins.
Yeah.
And that's just go .500 over the balance of the season. That should be easy, right?
Could be.
They go at Illinois, host Michigan at home, at Notre Dame, at Nebraska. Ryan, I'm going to ask you this question.
Yes.
Could they go 0-4 in that stretch?
I don't think so.
Could. Not, I mean, will.
Anything could happen, sure.
No. It's not in the anything could happen realm. It's, then no. Is that a realistic possibility?
I don't think it is.
You, sir.
UCLA.
That is drinking
UCLA
Kool-Aid.
Won in Lincoln last year.
Yeah, but they're going to be better this year, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
But at Notre Dame, they win in that one?
I mean, they could.
Wow. Wow, he's drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, so I'm going to say at that point, they are 5-3.
You could write, that would be at least, like, you could put two losses in for sure.
All right, I'm going 5-3.
Okay.
Then they are hosting Northwestern, 6-3.
Yeah.
Hosting Iowa.
Toss up, right?
Yeah. At Oregon, and then hosting UCLA.
Yeah.
They're not winning at Oregon. Okay. So then it's a question of, do they win? What will they need to do at that point? Two, they have to win both Iowa and UCLA.
Yeah.
Hmm. We're going under, baby.
There, I know. I already wrote it in for you. Duh. Like, how would you not? Like, you have to.
Who was a little bit closer to correct last year? And by a little bit closer, I mean almost exactly correct last year.
Yeah. You were.
Oh, yeah. It was the big dog over here. You cover the team, right?
I do.
Oh, okay. Interesting. But you're an impartial observer, right? You didn't like attend the school or anything, right?
No.
Okay.
Not twice.
Cool. Just making sure.
Yeah, I'm doing the over on this one too. Just seeing the stuff that they've changed behind the scenes.
The mass they gained.
The Lincoln Riley thing, he's still there. And everything pretty much around him has been fixed.
Mm.
If they have a poor season, and I think 7.5-5 would be a poor season, they have to make, you know, they would have to try to figure out a way to buy him out, because there's just too many things that are going well that they invested in around.
Sorry,
Lincoln Riley.
And this is a serious question.
Yes.
Isn't 8-4 a bad season at this point?
I don't think it's great. And I don't think people would be happy, but I kind of feel like that's where I would put the, like, better than 8-4 is good.
But that's not what USC's paying for. They're not paying for 8-4 this year. No, they're certainly not.
Yeah. So I think they just need to figure out when. So I have to take the over here, just because if it's worse than that, I mean, there's just going to be chaos. And I think Dog Life in Portland is 9-3 or bust. And I don't know if people would even be happy with 9-3.
But I don't think that's more where I am. I don't think people would be happy with 9-3, but I think they would see it as progress.
Yeah.
I think 8-4, people would look at that and be like, what is this shit?
No, because they were 6-6 last year, but you had five, you know, you were winning five times in the fourth quarter and lost those games.
Yeah, because the coach is an idiot.
It should have been better. So they got their new strategy. You know, so it's got to be better than this. But you could see if they play like they did last year, especially on the road, you could lose a whole bunch of those games. So we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. Let's go with this team you were mentioning.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
Dana Holgorsen is now going to be the offensive coordinator for the whole season, baby. He won't be coming in halfway through. He won't be coming in cold. You know what that man can do? He can probably like crush beers, smokes a bunch of cigs probably, but can also coach offensive football. Is he a good head coach? I don't know. Probably not. But he can coach an offense to hell and gone.
Yeah. No, I like him. I like the move. And, you know, I think this could be a big year for Dylan Raiola. This is one of those teams that just is getting a lot of hype. And I was pretty high on Nebraska coming into this season. And I know some of the people on my staff were like, I don't know. But yeah, I feel like this is a team, you know, this was their first bowl season last year, since 2016. But they started off 5-1 and then like really struggled down the stretch. So that's a tough one. They end up 7-6, but they were only 3-6, in the conference. But just to get a bowl win, I think it was something that Matt Rhule needed. And now we'll see if they can build that. There are some people that feel like this could be a fringe kind of playoff team, David. I'm not sure I'm there, but there's there is a lot of optimism going into year three for Matt Rhule.
Yes, very much so. So you want to put the total?
We have it 7-5.
All right.
And,
so
like I said, last year, Nebraska was 7-6, but 3-6 in conference. Like I said, made a bowl game, which was great.
So here's what I'll say. This schedule has Indiana potential from last year. At Cincinnati, Akron at home, Holy Cross at home. Should be 3-0.
Yeah.
At Cincinnati, I guess, but 3-0. Then it's Michigan at home, Michigan State at home, back-to-back. They could win both of those.
Yeah.
They could start the season 5-0 heading into the meat of conference play. Then it's at Maryland and at Minnesota.
I mean,
6-1?
This is like 6-1-ish. Like, if 6-1 is, I mean,
then hosting Northwestern. 7-1, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 8-0, maybe 6-2, but in that realm.
Yeah, I think you would put the over-under for those games at like 6.5.
Yeah. All right, but then it becomes a little bit more difficult. Then it's USC at home, hosting USC. Then it's at UCLA. They lost to UCLA last year. Then it's at Penn State, and then it's hosting Iowa. Now, here's the thing. They don't have to play Ohio State, and they don't have to play Oregon.
Yeah.
They avoid the two teams that, you know, you look at a lot of times and you say, oh, those are auto losses for most of the league. They don't have those two. They've got Penn State on the road. Auto loss, fine. Every single other game on this schedule is winnable by this Nebraska team.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over by a lot. I think they go 9-3 at worst this year.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I know, unfortunately for UCLA, I think they're going to be better, but I feel like Nebraska really hated the fact that they lost to the Bruins at home.
And it was like a broken Dylan Raiola game where he just didn't look right the entire time. I think that was the game before they decided to transition to Dana Holgorsen at offensive coordinator. Like, there was a lot wrong offensively in that game that wasn't as wrong going forward for Nebraska.
I like what Holgorsen's done there. You know, like, I feel like they were going to have a real offense. You know, a lot of times you get the star freshman quarterback and they have a big step in year two. Yeah, I'm going to go with the over as well. I think you got to finish strong. You know, you can't come out of the gates hot like they did last year and then just stink. They got to come out of the gate hot and then like win some coin flips and then you'll be fine. But yeah, I think 9-3 is like very achievable. So I would feel pretty good about taking the over on this one.
Beautiful.
Let's go with
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh, oh, oh!
Mm-hmm. Iowa football. We love to talk about Iowa football. What can you say about Iowa football that hasn't already been said by so many? Their new quarterback is a man named, I want to say, Gronowski.
Gronowski, yeah.
Yes. He comes from, I believe, the FCS ranks.
South Dakota State.
That was a fact I pulled from my head.
That's pretty good.
It existed there. That's all I have.
He won two FCS national championships there.
Wow. Could this be a competent quarterback for the first time in Iowa history, maybe?
I don't know if this is a fact or not, but the fact that there's actual excitement about Iowa offensive football could be pretty good.
Is that worrying? Is that concerning for anyone else out there?
Yeah. I think this is one of those – I think this is Kirk Ferentz going, we can't hide in a weak division and just punt and – play defense. Like, we actually have to go out and try to score points. So fact that they didn't get the 25 points a game last year and Kirk had to fire his son, that's a pretty good one. And who they brought in is it the guy from Syracuse, the offensive coordinator? Why am I blanking on his name?
I'm looking it up for you. Tim Lester.
Lester, yeah. So he was the Syracuse OC back in the day. And Connor, who went to Syracuse while Lester was the offensive coordinator, wasn't a big fan, but they just need something. Like,
well, Lester's been, he was there last year, I think.
No.
Because Brian Ferentz was fired before last season.
Oh, it was before last season. Okay.
Yeah. Your fact was outdated. It was again a stability fact, but I liked it.
Yeah. I gave you like the two national championships for
that. Was a good fact. I liked that fact.
The quarterback.
It's important to have facts.
We want some facts. 7.5 win total.
Okay.
Where are you on the Hawkeyes? Last season, do you remember what they did? 8-5, 6-3 in the conference.
They host Albany. Their schedule was cake last year, if you remember.
Yes. It's not as cakey this year.
They host Albany. Then it's the Iowa State game, whatever they call that.
Was it the
El Asico? As the shutdown forecast coined it once upon a time. Then UMass at home. So who knows how the Iowa State's going to go? You never know. But they'll be 2-0 in the other two. Then it's at Rutgers, Indiana at home, at Wisconsin, Penn State at home, Minnesota at home, Oregon at home, at USC, Michigan State at home, at Nebraska. So the benefit for Iowa is that they get both Penn State and Oregon at home. Do they have a hope of winning those games?
No.
Probably not.
Although Penn State
struggles
with Iowa.
Correct. What's the number we're looking for here?
7.5.
Ooh. Okay. 1-2. 3-4. Under.
Wow. Hating on, and I got to hear a lot of Iowa football because they're one of the booths where the guys one over from us was like the Iowa radio station, and they were radio voicing the whole time. You remember like when we were trying to talk, were you there? Well, it was like you, there was the Iowa people like, yeah. So I got a lot of Iowa, and it wasn't positive as far as like, it was sort of annoying, but they were like a booth away and I still could hear them very loudly. And looking at all of the totals, we have in the 7.5 range, there's Washington, USC, Nebraska, Iowa, and then one more team we're going to talk about. And so far, I have only one under. I have Washington under and Nebraska and USC over. The other team we're going to talk about, I'm going to pick over. So I need to pick one of those 7-5 teams to be under that. And I decided Iowa would be that team. Bill Connolly has them at 7 wins. And a losing record in the Big Ten. So, actually, no, it's like even, he has a 4.6, but 7 wins total. And so, yeah, I'm going to go under on the Hawkeyes, but we also have Matthew's just like,
Matthew's killing
money bags here. I was like, he knows it's really, to be honest, so it's figured this out. If you want your comments to go up on the screen, since I am doing a whole bunch of stuff, it's hard to read the comments that are happening. But if it comes up, it pops at the top if you do a super chat. I feel uniquely qualified having seen Gronowski 3 times here in Fargo. Overrated by some? Yes. Dramatically better than what they've had? Yes.
I like it. And thank you, Matthew. You're awesome.
Yeah, thanks very much for that. That's that is perfect. All right. And so we have, like I mentioned, we have one more team that we have at the 7-5 mark. This one's a little bit of a head scratcher for me.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
So the big thing to understand about Illinois this year is that they actually returned their starting quarterback who was good last year in Luke Altmaier. He might be like right there with like, I don't know, Drew Aller among the top tier of Big Ten quarterbacks this year. Like if you go through the list, there aren't, you know, there aren't a ton. And so Altmaier's up there. This will be his final year of college football. I think he's going to be very, very good.
Yeah. Is that a fact?
Well, I said he's returning, so that's the fact.
Okay. Did you remember? So first of all, we'll go back to the playoff picture. Illinois was kind of left out. They were 9-3 also.
Yep.
And everyone kept talking about South Carolina,
Alabama.
And who was the other? I don't know.
Somebody else.
What other? Well, Illinois was 9-3 also. They end up
in the national championship winning conference.
Yes. And smashed South Carolina for a bowl win. 10 win season, first time in 23 years for Illinois. So there's a fact for you. But pretty cool to go, you know, 10-3. 6-3 in conference, like you mentioned, you know, bringing back your starting quarterback. There's, you know, early preseason rankings, a lot of people have the Illini like in the 15, 16 range.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for a win total of 7.5, I'm going to jump the line and say I'm going over. Bill Connolly has them at 8.5 average wins. I think this is more like a 9-3 kind of team again. Last year, they weren't really competitive with the teams they lost to. And they sort of beat all the teams you should beat. And they had some close games against teams that you shouldn't have had close games, like Rutgers and Purdue and all that. But I feel like 7.5, I think, 8-4, I think is very reasonable. And if things kind of fall their way, I think they could be 9-3.
Yeah, so, I agree. So if you look at their schedule, it's Western Illinois at home, at Duke, which is, that's a real game. And then Western Michigan at home should be 3-0, maybe 2-1. Then it's at Indiana. That'll be a tough one.
Yep.
USC at home. That'll be a tough one. At Purdue.
Not a tough one.
Ohio State at home. That'll be a tough one.
Yeah.
At Washington.
That'll be tough.
Rutgers at home. Maryland at home. At Wisconsin. Northwestern at home. So the end of the slate is a lot easier than the beginning and middle. I am going to take the over. I'm not quite as bullish because the schedule does have some major difficulty midseason that could, there can be a hangover effect from hitting a lull midseason that could happen.
Yeah.
But I like the quarterback play. I like BLM as a coach. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a fundamentally sound team. I'm taking the over too. I could feel like they could even lose to like USC at home and still get to 8-4. You could get blown out by Ohio State at home and still, be 9-3. You can't lose to USC and lose on the road to Washington and lose on the road to Wisconsin. There's a bunch there, but I feel like you could get the over and not have to you have to win this game. I feel like they can, yeah. There's a lot more ways you can get the over from this schedule.
Yep.
Just looking at, I don't know. Next up, we've got
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
Indiana added California Bear great Fernando Mendoza in the transfer portal, and he gets to throw still to Elijah Surratt. So that's going to be a lot of fun for Indiana fans offensively.
Let me give you a fact about Indiana.
Give me a fact. Yep.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse. He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys. Signetti. Signetti kills.
Love it.
Duh.
Signetti kills.
I do love that. That's pretty awesome.
What's our win total?
Win total is 8.5.
Wow. All right. So here's the schedule. Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State at home to open the season, 3-0. Illinois at home. Tough. Iowa on the road. Oregon on the road. Michigan State at home. UCLA at home. Maryland on the road. Penn State on the road. Wisconsin at home. Purdue on the road. All right, so Purdue's a win. Michigan State's a win. Wisconsin's probably a win.
Probably, yeah.
So we're at 6-0 right now. Maryland on the road, probably a win, 7-0. Then it's Illinois at home, Oregon on the road, UCLA at home. That's probably a win, too. So are we 8-0 right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's Iowa, Illinois, Oregon, and Penn State. Can they win one of those is the real question. I'm going to say yes, because
he knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
So, over.
I think it's a fairly reasonable schedule.
Oh, I can feel the butt. It's pregnant. It's a pregnant butt.
It's a pregnant butt. I just feel like they're going to take a step back.
Damn.
And I think this is like an 8-4 kind of team, which is... Damn. Still really good 2 years removed from 3-9.
Guzzling Haterade.
I'm guzzling some Haterade. It's going to be really hard because I love the sound drops and I love Signetti kills. I feel like they're going to back up a little.
All right. Okay. All right.
Do you remember what happened to USC in year one with Lincoln Riley?
I'm very familiar with Lincoln Riley as a head coach.
Did you know how many games they won?
10? 11?
11.
Yeah.
What did Cignetti win year one?
12? 11?
11.
Yeah.
8-1 in conference. Yeah, I feel like some of these are just not – I think it's going to be a good year, but not like a great magical year. I was all in on Cignetti, even after Big Ten Media Days last year. This, I don't know. Okay.
All right.
Next up, we've got
– Michigan Wolverines.
Ah, scratch, 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 scratch.
Michigan added the top quarterback in the country as a true freshman in Bryce Underwood, and I don't think they're saying he's going to start, but he's going to start at quarterback for the Wolverines this year.
Yeah. They need to – their offense was bad.
They need it to be not bad.
They need it to be not bad. They were undefeated when they scored at least 24 points last year. Mm. There's a fact. It didn't happen that often, though.
No.
So that's the problem. So Michigan, the over-under total is 8.5.
Woo! All right. Let's look at this. Let's dive right in.
8.5.
New Mexico at home. Win. Oklahoma on the road.
It's a tough one.
Tough one. Central Michigan at home. Win. Nebraska on the road. Wisconsin at home. USC on the road. Washington at home. Michigan State on the road. Purdue at home. Northwestern on the road. Maryland on the road. Ohio State at home. Now, obviously, they're going to beat Ohio State because that's just what Michigan does.
I mean, it does every year.
So that's three. But then you got to come up with these other wins. Northwestern on the road, probably a win. Purdue at home, probably a win. So that's 5-0. Michigan State, Maryland, both on the road.
Yeah.
Both of them? One of them? Two of them? What are we saying? Wisconsin at home?
I'd say both.
That's a win.
Anthony says Moore is suspended for week 3 and week 4.
Who cares?
Michigan coaches getting suspended is awesome.
Washington at home, probably a win. I like the over here.
I'm going over also.
They got a lot of talent.
There's a lot of talent. I feel like year 2 with Jerome Moore, you're just going to like... It's going to be one of those things where I think they're like a 9-3 kind of team. And I'm not sure where it's all going to come, but I feel like that's what they're going to do.
Yep.
So again, 2-8-5 projections. I have Indiana. I wanted one to go over, one to go under. I felt like Michigan was more likely to go over. So you had them both going over, but that's fine. We'll count this up at the end. Okay. Next up, we've got...
Oregon Ducks.
My fact is that Evan Stewart, their star wide receiver, suffered a knee injury in June. I don't believe it's a torn ACL. I think it's a torn patella or patellar tendon. Yeah. I still think it's going to massively impact his availability for the season, and he may end up redshirting or something. So that's my fact.
That was going to be my fact, too. Probably their biggest weapon. Now Dante Moore's coming in for Will Stein, the offensive coordinator, third different starting quarterback in 3 years. But there's a lot of optimism, I think, around Moore, who you covered at his time at UCLA.
One thing I'll say about Dante Moore is I think UCLA fans had a justifiably negative impression of him because he threw a lot of interceptions at UCLA. I don't think he was put in a great position to succeed. And I think, with a couple years of seasoning, he's got a lot of talent. His spring, when we watched him before his season at UCLA, he was really, really good. So with a couple years of seasoning, I think he could be very good for the Oregon Ducks.
We have the Oregon win total at 10.5.
Yikes. All right. So
that's high. Last year won the Big Ten.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube, I put the graphic up. I'll put it.
I was a lot higher on Oregon last year.
I was too.
Here's that schedule. Montana State at home. Sure. Win. Oklahoma State at home.
50.
Oklahoma State at home. Probably a win.
Yeah.
Then it goes at Northwestern. win, 3-0. Oregon State at home, 4-0. Okay, so they're 4-0 at that point. Then they go at Penn State.
Yeah.
Tough one. Indiana at home. Tough one, but we'll give it a win.
Yeah.
Rutgers on the road, win. Wisconsin at home, win. Iowa on the road, can get weird. Minnesota at home, win. USC at home, probably a win.
Probably win.
Washington on the road, probably a win, but that game obviously can get weird. The problem I'm running into is I'm giving them a... It's going to be very hard for them to win at Penn State. And so you're taking away a win, I think, kind of from the jump. And that's where I'm just... I'm struggling with 10.5.
Because
I think 10-2 feels like the number to me. Like that feels like 100% what it's right. going to be. Because there's another loss in here. I just don't know which one it is. Is it Indiana at home? Is it USC at home? Is it Washington on the road? Not sure. I said those nice things about Dante Moore. I trusted Dylan Gabriel a lot more going into last year. Like I was saying, I don't know why he's not getting Heisman consideration as a preseason like guy that they're talking about. And then he went and had a great year. I don't feel that way about Dante Moore. I think they're going to have a little bit more struggle at the quarterback position because he's never started a full season before. Dylan Gabriel was extremely seasoned coming in. So, yeah, I like him at 10-2. I'm going to take the under.
I'm with you. Bill Connelly has a 10.1 average wins. Obviously, a lot of losses. And then, you know, tremendous portal class where you're bringing in dudes to replace a lot of that. But, that, you know, not always easy. I think there's going to be a very, very good team. Last year it was the Ohio State game at home, and this one it's the Penn State game on the road, and then you got to figure out a way to win the rest. I think last year Oregon struggled a little bit at Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. I 10-2 feels right for me, and I think, you know, playoff team and probably get a better seeding and make a deeper run than you did in last year with undefeated regular season.
Correct.
Ended more. I think this year, probably two losses, but I feel like it's going to be a better feeling at the end of the season. So it's not like a hating under. It's just like, I think this is going to be like a 10-2 type of team. Because that Penn State's one of the ones I'm very high on. Even if that road game was at Ohio State, it might be a little different for me. But I think Penn State's like going to be the favorite in the conference. So going on the road for against the Nittany Lions, I think it's going to be a tough one.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got two left. One of them we just mentioned.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr. Here's my fact about Penn State. They returned goddamn everyone from last year.
Yeah.
Like, in a kind of crazy way. Drew Aller, Nicholas Singleton, Katron Allen, Denai Dennis Sutton. Those guys are all back.
Yeah.
Which, like, going into last year, wasn't everyone expecting most of those guys to be gone?
Yeah.
Aller to go to the NFL draft, Singleton and Allen to go to the NFL draft, the whole thing. And no, they're all back. Penn State's going to be really good. Anyway, your fact.
You mentioned the running backs, Singleton and Allen. They returned 68 touchdowns between them.
Good God.
Almost 7,000 scrimmage yards between those two guys come back. So, yeah, like... pretty big deal.
Yep.
10.5 also for Penn State as far as the season win totals go.
It's a two-game schedule. So they have Nevada at home, FIU, Villanova at home, win all those. One of the two games is Oregon at home. Then they go at UCLA. That's a win. Northwestern at home. That's a win. Iowa State, Iowa on the road, probably a win. And then it's Ohio State on the road. That's the other game on the schedule. And it's Indiana at home, Michigan State on the road, Nebraska at home, Rutgers on the road. Those are probably all four wins. It comes down to, do they win one of Oregon and Ohio State? I think we already said they should beat Oregon at home. So I like the over.
Yeah, I mean, critics will say, you know, James Franklin not winning the big ones and all that stuff. You know, made it to the Final Four last year. Maybe it's not an over hump year to beat Ohio State. It would be a big deal to win against Oregon at home. Maybe that doesn't happen. This is flipped. If Oregon gets the win in Happy Valley, then they're going to do the over, I think, and then Penn State will be the under. But I feel like this is Penn State's year, like all the production coming back. There's a lot of continuity there. Returning starter, quarterback, and just have, like, to get your, you know, Drew Aller, who was one of the top, I think he was class of 2022, number one or number two on the, like, dropback quarterback, you know, recruit list, and a lot of talent there. But to get the running backs that they have returning, and, you know, wide receiver was a real big problem last year, but they went out and got a whole bunch of guys. And I think you're probably have three transfers start for Penn State. So
that'll be a very tough environment for Dante Moore.
I think so. And also went out and got Jim Knowles.
Yep.
From Ohio State. So yeah, I like Penn State and the over in this one. I think they're going to be my pick for winning the conference. So I will go, I think they're like an 11-1 type of team, and I'll take the over. All right, one last one.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
My fact about Ohio State is that I can comfortably watch them without feeling negative feelings about their offensive coordinator anymore.
Oh,
because yes. Chip Kelly is gone and Brian Hartline is in as the offensive coordinator. That probably means, unfortunately for Ohio State fans, that Ryan Day will once again be taking more of a hand in the offense. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. And at least you don't have that piece of shit Chip Kelly coaching your offense anymore.
Yeah, I would say two of the best returners, and you know, Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs, you know, as far as like studs, but losing two coordinators, you know, Chip Kelly, and then we already mentioned Jim Knowles moving on to Penn State, but still a loaded roster, a shit ton of optimism. Sorry, Griffin. And David, 10.5 win total.
So this is a tough one for me. So looking at the schedule,
yep.
They host Texas, or is that hosting or is that a neutral site?
I know. I think it's
actually hosted.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. All right. And then it's Grambling State at home, Ohio at home. 2-0 for sure. And then Texas. Who knows? It's Sark. They could come in there and be gangbusters, or, you know, it could be Sark. Then they go at Washington. Okay. Minnesota at home, at Illinois, at Wisconsin. Penn State at home, at Purdue, UCLA at home, Rutgers at home, and then at Michigan. Well, we already know they're going to lose at Michigan, right? So you're already shaving one win off. And then it's a question of, can they beat all of
Texas?
Let's bucket them all together.
Penn State.
Yeah. Texas, Penn State. I'll even throw Illinois on the road in there. I'll throw Washington on the road in there. Are they going to win all those?
Oh, you're going to do the under, I think.
I'm taking the under, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
That's a good, you know what? I'm going to switch. I'm going to do that as well. I think they'll beat Penn State at home, but Texas is really freaking good.
And we already know they're losing to Michigan.
And so, yeah, I get, I mean, I think there's enough, and we've seen this team trip up, right? And win a national championship. So it doesn't mean like if they go 10-2, it's not like, woe is me. Bill Connelly has them as 10.3 average wins. They had Penn State at 10.4, so like a little bit below. But I think this could be a team goes 10-2 in the regular season and wins a championship again, you know. But I was on the fence, but there is enough tough one with having Penn State and Texas on the, you know, it's like, ugh, so you got to win everything else.
And Michigan.
And I forgot to mention Michigan. Which you can't, I mean, I know you're joking, but it's not, you know, was it 4 or 5 in a row? Like that's
it's a lot in a row.
It's a lot in a row. No bueno. So yeah, I'll do under on Ohio State as well. Do you know how many over unders I can count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have 9 overs,
wow.
9 unders. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so do I.
Wow.
We both, like,
that was not planned.
Not at all.
You couldn't tell, this was the first time we have looked at any of these things this entire year.
I think we have another fact in the chat. Anthony, David has yawned 5 times on the simulcast. Fact. Have
Is
you
that
really?
A fact? I don't think I've been yawning that much. Have I been?
I don't know. I'm literally like looking at a lot of screens all at once. There's one.
Now we're talking about yawning.
I didn't get much sleep last night.
Do you yawn when, like, you talk about
it? When I talk about yawning? Yeah, of course.
Andrew.
I'm a social creature.
At the 1 hour and 30 minute mark. What's up, boys? Okay. You know.
Thank you, Andrew.
We started a while ago, but thanks, Andrew. You're three super chats behind, Andrew, so you can just, like, dump a big
up.
One on there.
Catch up, buddy.
Is this a joke? So, Dog's Life in Portland. Did Dante Moore throw a TD during the spring game?
I don't know, man. I don't watch spring games.
Yeah, we definitely don't. Watch that. There was Andrew said, since he's going to be better this year, not great, but Nebraska better be serious. Okay. I like that. And Dog's Life in Portland, talk about losing Penn State. Lost their tight end. He was responsible for 1,233 yards on offense. I think the offense takes a step back 9-3. I don't think it takes a step back, not with those two running backs. And they did go out and address the wide receiver position from the portal. Oh, Andrew said he's going to rewatch later tonight. Perfect. Yeah, watch it 10 times. Watch it as many times
absolutely
as you want. I think I had one question in the chat that I starred that I will pull up for you, David, and then we'll probably be done. Alex, question for the champs. Lots of YouTube videos in my feed talking about the death of Vegas. Outside of the official events, what was your Vegas experience like? Did it feel normal or more dead?
Totally normal. I would say the only thing that was slightly off was that Mandalay had $10 craps at times when they would typically have had $15 at minimum.
But, mostly 25, yeah.
But
I think it's summer.
Yeah. It didn't feel that dead to me. But again, so Ryan and I had a very specific experience because I don't think we left the Mandalay Bay the entire time we were there. So if I'd been walking the strip, as I, you know, will typically do at least once when I'm there, maybe it would have felt different.
Yeah. I mean, talking to some locals and stuff, there's definitely been some of a drop. I think there's just some pushback. One, the political climate. Canada apparently represents 50% of the tourism.
And that's a real thing. Disneyland is hurting for the same reason. Canadians are not coming.
And it's like half the international tourism is Canadians.
Yeah.
So that's bad. But also the nickel and diming is, I think there has been a lot of corporate sort of, one of my local friends said that I think they split up like casino properties and like actual property themselves and sold them off to like venture, you know, bigger companies. And then they're squeezing out profits. And so no more free parking, the resort fees going up and all that stuff. And even I noticed, like, I have an MGM card and I have a gold status there. I'm not going to keep the gold status just because I feel like I would go and gamble and spend money. And then you look at it and I'm like, I didn't get that many points. You need like 75,000 points a year to keep your gold status. And I was there in March and we bet a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of sports betting. Like I grouped them all in my, you know, on my account and hardly got anything for it. I just feel like you're getting some of the perks you would get aren't there anymore. So I feel like that's some of it too, is that people feel they're getting nickel and dimed a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when they took away free parking at all the casinos, that was a bellwether.
Yeah. It wasn't good. And then, you know, just eating is.
Yeah, it's extremely expensive, and it always has been, but it feels like it's getting even more so.
It hasn't always. I mean, it used to be cheap to eat, but I mean, in the last 15 years, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
But it's getting like, a burger and fries is $75 or something. You're like, what? Like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah.
We did have a good meal at Libertine.
Yeah, that was Social. Pretty good.
I
had to eat wings. I had to. I mean, I ordered them. Or not wings, ribs. And they were so messy.
I had rabbit.
I don't like messy food. I don't know why I would ever order ribs. Like, I don't like having food on my hands. You know?
Oh, yeah. You didn't seem really happy with the ribs.
I don't like saucy things that are like covering my hands. I don't like that at all. I don't like that feeling.
Matthew's never been to Vegas. What? Matthew.
The hell?
Oh, wait. I put the wrong question up. But Matthew, yeah. Matthew says he's never been to Vegas. And other Matthew, oh, my God, I finally caught a POC live. You caught the very end where we're just like, Yeah, perfect. I had a rabbit. What was it? There was it wasn't rabbit and rice. It was rabbit.
Rabbit risotto.
Risotto, yes.
Yeah.
It was tasty.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
And then the two children we were with, they got burgers.
Yes. Chris and his lovely girlfriend.
Yes.
Kristen. Yeah.
Very nice.
That was good. But yeah, food's good, but it's just, it's kind of expensive. Everything, you know, drinks. But one of Dave and I's go-to moves is sitting at the bar and playing video poker and getting free drinks that way. Mm-hmm. It's fun to do. And then you like to see, like, oh, I order like a Jack and Coke or something. And why was that $22? Well, it is at the bar, but it's free. Yay.
Yeah.
You know, so you feel like I just made $22.
I pay a dollar for this right now.
Good stuff. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up. Yeah.
Wrap it up.
We are back, baby.
That's right.
Thanks again to our friends over at MyBookie. I think the promo code POC still works. We're getting that. Make sure it's still turned on. Nice little bonus if you want to go over there and put a deposit in and bet along with us throughout the season. But thanks to MyBookie, POC promo code. We did all the over-under totals. We'll see who's right, who's wrong. All that at the end of the season. But for David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.